This morning again, I bring to you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us in worship this morning. One of the chaotic things about construction is the discombobulation of the site where the buildings are being constructed. It looks very confusing. The trees, the felling trees, the piles of dirt, men standing, men walking, men working. And the first time you walk there, you see completely a disorderly confusion. You don't seem to understand what is going on, but you know something is going on because people are there and things are happening. And then they post a sign to give you an idea of what is going on. Put a sign up with a building on it and tell you exactly what is happening there. And so you drive by one day, 2 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month. And one good fine day, you drive by this place and there is a beautiful building looking like the one that was placed on the sign that had been posted on the side of the site. And you go, ah, so this is what they were doing. Then they built a model home for showing, and people go in and look at the home and see exactly what this whole construction was all about. Well, all this was said in order to give us a picture of the kingdom that is being built here on earth today. The kingdom that we are building on earth. The kingdom that God is establishing on earth through the church. That in the midst of what seems to be chaotic, I come to encourage you that construction is going on. We are constructing the kingdom of God. We are constructing something, the body of Christ. All right? So we are constructing in the face of all of these chaoses that we are having, the work is happening. The discouragements that we have, the pains and the neglect and the regrets. And all of these things that are happening, listen, in the midst of it, construction is going on. And as the world looks at the church and asks the question, what is the significance of the church? Why go there? Construction is going on. And I come to let you know that some fine day is coming when the world is going to drive by and finally see what all of this is about, and they'll go, ah, so this is what it meant. And so as we bring this message to you this morning, I want to tell you that we are all God's builders. Every single person under the authority of my voice is a builder in the house in the kingdom of God. We are building the kingdom. We are all builders this morning. Look in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9, 8 through 10, what it says. For we are co-workers in God's service, according to the grace of God, which was given to me. Like a wise master builder, this is Paul speaking. He said, I laid a foundation and another is building on it, but each man must be careful how he builds on it. So the church is called to build very carefully. Very carefully as we build on this foundation, we are called to build one brick at a time. We are laying it one brick at a time. And so as you look at your life and the number of years you've been in the church building, think about the wall that you have constructed. And the number of bricks that you have placed on that wall. I've been building for a long time too. I've been building since I was born. I was in the church, grew up in the church, and served in every aspect of the church up until this point. And so we keep building this wall and building this big old wall that God has called us, building the kingdom of God. Notice we were not called to break down walls, nor to build foundations. That's not our work. You see, the hardest part of building is to build a foundation. It's the hardest part of building. If you ask any builder, we'll tell you that. Because they have to prep the ground and put down steel rods and put the concrete in there and wait for days and then so that it was solidified and before they move on further with the work. That's the hardest part. We were not called to do that. Why? Because Jesus broke down the old walls and laid the foundation. Look in Ephesians 2 verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So Jesus broke down the walls and he built the foundation that we all are enjoying today. And this is the reason why the Bible tells us when he was on that cross, he broke down the wall of the temple when he rented the veil into two and then opened up that holy of holiest and made everybody part of the priesthood. He broke down that wall. He broke down the wall that divided the Jews from the Gentiles and made us all one. There is no Jew, no Gentiles. But it is one people in God. He broke down the wall when he was on the cross, stretched wide and hung high and said, "It is finished. The foundation has been laid. Now it's time for you to build." In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." So Jesus is that foundation. So what we are doing is carrying the walls up. It's the work of the church to carry the walls up and build up the kingdom of God. But the question for today is this: what material am I using for my side of the project? It's the question for today, because a day is coming when the architect will be testing your side of the wall to see how well you build. And so here are some things that we need to know about this wall, about the building of the kingdom of God while we build. The first thing is the materials must be built on Christ. The materials must be built on Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11. It says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." The foundation is already laid, the scripture tells us. Jesus said, "It is finished," and "it is finished," it is done. The hardest part of that construction was done by Jesus. So the question now is, what or who are we building our materials on? For some, it is self-ambition. We got a lot of folks in the church who are serving in the kingdom of God, who are serving and doing things, but the purpose is for self. Self-glorification, self-edification. Self-ambition is the reason why people are motivated in the kingdom of God to work and serve. And so we come in God's kingdom with this kind of idea, the picture of Nebuchadnezzar, who after God built the city, he stood up on the top of his palace and looked around and said, "Look at what I have built." All right? And God called him a fool for thinking so. But we have a lot of folks in the church today who are serving a building based on self-gratification. Why hasn't no one recognized what I'm doing? And these are the kind of questions we are asking when we are only servants. What are we building on? Some are building on self-righteousness. We are doing everything we can in our power to try to get to God. When man is trying to get to God, when man is trying to live right, when man is trying to maintain and obtain his own salvation, he becomes self-righteous. And we need to be careful and cautious about these because on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. And all other grounds are sinking sand. So we plant our feet in Jesus Christ. We establish our walls on his foundation. We build on that foundation that Jesus has started. So the first thing we learn is the materials must be built on Christ. Second is that the materials must be branded Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3, 12 and 13, it reads, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Now notice that each of the materials listed above has their levels of qualifications. First, it starts with gold, and then it goes to silver, which is less in quality, costly stones, and then wood, hay, or straw. And we see the categories. And when I look at this, I always see that God is a God of goodness. The God that we serve is a God of goodness and a God of quality, is what the text is telling us. So as we enter into service for God, we need to enter into the service with the intention of the service being a quality of quality. It's important that we think that way. When God created the universe, the Bible says, and he came back to inspect what he had created, he said, it is good. When we create, it must be good. When we serve, it must be good. It must have good quality to it. It must have the quality of Christ in our services. We need to examine what we do for God and how we do what we do for God. It must have that quality in it. God wants us to examine how we do ministry. And right now we are doing just that as we have formed a task force here that is viewing missions and ministries at our church. It is very important that we look at these things. We are using Christ's brand here in our effort to do missions and ministries. Christ's brand is the brand that we will use and use all the time. Look at our vision statement. The vision statement says we are called by Christ and we are unified by the Holy Spirit to grow disciples to spread the gospel. So now we have a vision statement. How are we going to implement this vision statement in our daily living that is going to make this vision live? It's the next step toward making this happen. So we just talked about the material must be branded. First, we talked about the material must be built on Christ. Now it must be branded on Christ. Next one is the material will be tested by Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 14 through 15. It says, if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the fire. First, let me make it clear that this has nothing to do with the works of the work for salvation, but rather the work of salvation. This is not about the works for salvation, but it is about the work of salvation. We have to get the difference. When Jesus says it is finished, the work for salvation was done on that cross, and it was finished. And now that it is finished, he's brought us in freely. We didn't pay anything. He paid the price, and he brought us in freely. Now that we have come in freely and are participating in this salvation that he's brought to us, we are serving. We are saved to serve God. I don't understand it, but any Christian who has received this salvation of God and is not enthusiastic about serving God, I don't understand it. I don't understand how this Christian is surviving, because it all comes together, folks. It comes together. Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful. It means there's a lot of stuff in the church to do. And he needs everybody who have been saved to gather together to do the work. But we leave it with few folks and we stand by and watch. But look at what he's saying here. Not only that we are saved, all right, not for our salvation, all right, we're not working for our salvation, but this is the work of salvation we're doing. And as we work the work of salvation, it is what we call stewardship. Being good stewards of what God has given to you and myself. When I look on the cross of Calvary, the cross on which he died, when I look at Jesus and the work he did for me, I cannot stop working. I'll work until I die. I will work, all right? I live and work until I die. That's exactly the kind of idea that Christians ought to have, every Christian. This is a picture of Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, all right? Wait, Jesus gives this parable and talk about how the master gave 1, 5, and 2, and 10 talents and said, go and work it. I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm going to inspect what you did. And he left. He comes back and he's asking them, what do you do? And the first guy says, you give me 5, but brought 10. The second guy said, you give me 2, I brought 4. And the last one said, you were so hard to deal with. You like to take from people what you didn't give them. These are people who carry the mindset that my life is mine. And I'm going to make my schedule and serve and do what I think I need to do. All right? And so we don't see the work of God to be a very important thing. So we make our schedules and we prioritize our lives based on what we know is right. And sometimes the church is struggling, looking for folks to serve. The nominating committee right now is looking for folks to serve in so many other areas in the church. People are making the schedules and prioritizing other things over the work of the kingdom. I'm just trying to be real this morning about this because it is serious. This is an issue that is in every church. Every church. People are too scared to commit to serve. But this is a very important thing that we need to look at this morning. Look here. It says here, escaping through the flame gives a picture. Look at it in the text where it talks about how he says, if it is burned up, this person's work is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even through, though only as one escaping through the flames. Now, escaping through the flames give a picture of a house on fire. And the owner was able to come out with half of his clothing on. All right? He was able to escape that fire and come out half dressed, because half of what he had on got burned and he was barely able to get out. It's the kind of idea or picture that this text is giving to you and I. So what that tells me is in heaven, God is going to reward us with eternal rewards. But there are some folks who will be in there in deep regret. Okay? Because they didn't serve. Because they didn't do anything for God. Everything they did was all about self, self, and self. And so they enter in there and they barely made it through. But God, nothing. That's the kind of picture that the text is giving to us today. Let's move on. The last point I want to give is the material or people in Christ. The materials or people in Christ. The material we are using are people in Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. It says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? Now, we are transforming people as we serve into spiritual blocks and using these blocks to build God's kingdom. We're transforming people. As you sit under the authority of my voice this morning, your lives are being transformed. As you hear this word, some of you are thinking now about what you can do to further the kingdom of God. What can I do to volunteer and serve in the house of God? Some of you are thinking that thought right now. Your mind or minds are being transformed as you're hearing God's word. So the people, we are building people. I'm building you up so that you can build others up. And everything else that is happening in worship this morning is to build the kingdom of God up. As the AV booth is running this morning, it's to build the kingdom of God up. The two folks that are in the booth back there right now are building us up. As they serve, as the live stream is on, and people are watching us all around the place right now, listen to me, the kingdom of God is being built up through their service. As Jenna plays the organ on Sunday morning, the kingdom of God is being built through what she does. And when the ushers and the elders serve, the kingdom of God is being built. And a lot of things that happen during the course of the week that we do not see. We got people coming in here, volunteering, serving, fixing the light, and doing this, and doing that, and doing the other. And when we come on Sunday, everything just looks gloomy. And we don't ask questions about how. But it's because people are serving. And this is what God calls. So we are building people up. It's what the scripture is telling us this morning. People are those blocks. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in this temple that we are building, the scripture says. All right? Don't you know that you yourself are God's temples? It's a question he's asking. We are building while we are the building. Where the temple is and where the Holy Spirit dwells. And the Spirit of God lives in us to empower us, to enable us, to help us. All right, we can rely on Him, lean on Him, lean on the Holy Spirit, and He'll help you. He'll help you. But folks, this morning, this message is to encourage you that if you are not in service, to begin to pray about it, to think about it, to get up and serve God. Because a time is coming when He will be testing every person for the gifts He's giving you. Now, don't tell me you don't have a gift. To tell me you don't have a gift is to tell me you are not saved. Because if you are saved, then you have a gift. Because God recreated us in His image and likeness. And so every person under the authority of my voice has a gift. Yes, you do. And all God wants you to do is to stand up and stir up the gift that is inside of you according to the scripture. And let God use you to the glory and honor of His matchless name. Lastly, this is why we need God's wisdom as we build. We need God's wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 18 and 19, it reads, do not deceive yourselves. Don't be deceived, he says. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. Listen to that. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. Wisdom comes from God, and those who are wise follow wisdom. All right? Or those who are following wisdom. And God is asking us to do that. Don't get fooled or carried away by the worldly passion and system and structure out there. God said it is foolishness. Here is wisdom. And he calls every single person in this room this morning to draw from the well of wisdom. And I pray that the words that you've received this morning would encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith, because God will never bring you this far and leave you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.